Joe just kind of, he said something that really went along with what I wanted to start out with beginning. He said, I went on YouTube, right? When you have kids these days, if they want to learn how to do something, what do? They go on to YouTube. They know how to do that pretty good. They know how to use the internet a little too well. It's kind of interesting. I was reading these two boys' homeworks the other day. And I go to the teacher's answer key. It says, answers will vary, but the students should include topics such as this. I get to the boys' homework. It says, answers will vary, but the students... They got... Sorry, Mr. Wilson, it won't happen again. Because they learn how to do stuff off the internet, right? And if a kid wants to learn how to fix something on his car, he's ambitious enough, he'll watch it. I do the same thing, so I shouldn't fault them for doing it. But they're much better at using the internet as a resource to learn how to do something. And I so enjoy it. I say, this is what's wrong, and this is what I have to fix. So I find, you know, some of them you don't want to watch because they're going to lead you down the wrong direction. But if you see a good tutorial on how to do something, you learn by example, right? And we're talking about leading someone to the Lord. And maybe you could go onto YouTube and type it, I want to share the gospel with someone, and you could see a tutorial. But before you do that, let's go to what is better than YouTube to find an example of how to share the gospel. Let's look at an example. And what has really kind of made really the Bible different to me is to really try to just embrace the story, read it, and think about it as if not this is just not something to come to church and to hear in a liturgic manner where some pastor gets up and Our Father, there's nothing wrong with the Lord's Prayer. But some people see it as liturgy and just something beyond the scope. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples at Jesus' feet, right? And let's make the Bible alive and practical, especially in the instance of personal evangelism. And so tonight my big topic, and I think it's up there. Terry was asking praises, and I thought to, as I was sitting there, I said, I'm just going to wait till I get my chance to talk. I give my praises then. I've got two praises. One of them is I broke my glasses like a month and a half ago. I don't know if anybody noticed that I stopped wearing glasses. I can read fine if it's like here, but if it's out there, it's no good. So I'm getting my glasses back tomorrow, and I praise the Lord for that. I'm getting my glasses. And I woke up Monday of last week, and I couldn't move my neck. I came to church on Monday, and I was talking to Dave Jenks, and I was probably looking at him like this the whole time, and I was as stiff as a board. On Wednesday, I thought I was about halfway better, and I came into church, and George Holmes said, he looked at me after about 2 seconds and said, what'd you do to your neck? There's something wrong with me. I said, what? I didn't. But I was still very stiff a couple days later, but there was 2 days. And my poor wife, I couldn't lay down in bed, and I was up and down all night because I couldn't lay still and couldn't move my neck without pain. And I just praise the Lord. I'm 95. I think, you know, I was I wasn't behaving myself because I should have asked you guys for prayer on Monday. But I waited till Wednesday at prayer meeting, and I said, "Would you guys pray for me?" And Thursday morning, I felt a lot better. And every day since, God's just been, He's been taking care of that. And I have no idea what I did. I woke. Somebody said, "Oh, it was that snow shoveling." I said, "No. I just woke up and my neck was gone, and I couldn't move." But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. I'm so thankful for what God is doing, and those are my praises. But let's look at some biblical examples of evangelism. Let's pray before we do that. Lord, long before you gave children YouTube on how to fix a car, you gave believers the Bible as an example for our learning. We could look at the apostles, we could look at the disciples, and we could learn how to share the gospel. And you sent your Son as the ultimate example of how we ought to live, how we ought to act, what we ought to say. And I pray that we look to Jesus Christ and find a manner in how we ought to live and lift Him up as the Son of God who has the ability to take away the sin of the world. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look at some biblical examples, first of all, I'd like to talk about types of evangelism and the types of evangelism that maybe you can be involved in. The first type of evangelism is personal evangelism. Personal evangelism is when you're talking to someone and you say, "Can I tell you about my relationship with Jesus Christ?" Or you lead into it by just having a casual conversation. It just leads to talking about heaven or Jesus or your relationship with God. And that can be a natural thing. I think many of us, we were talking about going to the doctor. This week I shared the gospel story and talking to my doctor this week. I guess he was a captive audience, but I know many times in just opening up and talking to our doctor, we do personal evangelism. We tell them, we share our faith with people. We do this at the grocery store, with a friend, with a neighbor, with a loved one. And then maybe the second type of evangelism that we can be a part of is visitation, where you purposefully go and visit someone with the purpose of evangelizing them. And some of the methods that people have used is door-to-door visitation. Or maybe sidewalk, passing out a tract, or invite, when you're invited into someone's house or you're going to visit someone, you go with the purpose of visiting them to share the gospel. And another one might be an evangelistic meeting, where you know that the gospel is going to be presented and people are going to hear that they have a need of Jesus Christ, and you invite them in to hear the gospel. I think about just about all of our concerts. I have a goal this year, and we've really become good friends with our neighbor next door and our neighbor across the street, and I would love to get them out to a concert. That's like stage one, and they know I'm a pastor of a church, and I've gotten a chance to share my faith with them a little bit. I'd like to invite them out to a concert because I know that they're going to hear the gospel when they come. And it's, we're going to have a gospel concert at our church. And would you like to come to that? So there's lots of types of evangelism that we can be involved in. You can, I'm sure that maybe you go, "Oh, I don't know if I'm comfortable with visitation, with going door to door and sharing my faith, passing out a tract, something like that. I have a real hard time going in and personally sharing my faith with somebody else." You can invite them out to a place where they're going to hear the gospel. So you can invite, you can visit, you can share your faith. Those are three types of evangelism that you can be a part of. So I don't mind on a Sunday night. We are definitely all family here, and we sit and we talk at dinner meetings and fellowship all the time. I see most of you or talk to most of you guys throughout the week and enjoy that. You guys are my friends, you're my family, and I don't mind you guys sharing anything. So the next topic we're going to talk about is biblical examples. And I've got 6 biblical examples for us to look at tonight. And I'd like to hear of, can you think in the Bible of any time that of someone sharing their faith or going out of their way to talk to someone about God? Can anybody think of somebody?
Noah.
Okay. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. For 100 years he preached to people and they didn't listen. So remember, I think it was a week ago I said, just because someone doesn't accept your invitation does not mean that you're a failure. What do you think Noah thought? He preached for 100 years and no one listened. Right? Right? It's true. Okay. Anybody think of anybody else? Jonah. Yeah. Very good. Philip. Okay. Woman at the well. All right. Awesome. You guys are doing great. Yes. Stephen. Okay. Shared his faith. Yep. Yep. And I know you've already got a couple on my list, and that's good. That's good. Anybody else think of anybody? Yep. James. Okay. Yep. James, the pastor of the Church of Jerusalem. Anybody else? Paul, John, Peter. Okay. Nobody gave the one that I've been talking about on Sunday mornings. That little girl that was the missionary and shared her faith to Elisha. So does it have to be one of these old preachers or apostles or guys that... No, she just said, there's a prophet in Israel who could clean you, Naaman, right? And how many times do children bluntly just say it like it is? And that's very, very, very important. So somebody said the first one that I got, and that's Paul. So let's look in our Bibles to Acts chapter 17. And picture ourselves, you know, going back just 10 years or something before YouTube and typing into our Bibles. Give us an example of how to share our faith. And our search engine comes up. Paul, Acts chapter 17. Here's a good example of how to share your faith. Acts 17, verses 1 to 5. It says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, exclaiming and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas." So here we see Paul and Silas as they're on a missionary journey going into Thessalonica and sharing their faith, going out of their way to meet with people and to proclaim the gospel. Listen what they did. They explained and demonstrated from the Scriptures that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead. They probably weren't opening to the book of Acts or Peter or Ephesians to do that. Because Paul himself hadn't written it yet. He definitely hadn't written the book of Thessalonica yet. The 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians. But they proclaimed the truth of the gospel. Another one was another example that somebody gave just a minute ago. and that is Philip and the Ethiopian. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts. Again, we don't have to go too far. I probably should have switched the order around so it would be moving in the right direction. But Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, along the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. "So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of another man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Jesus said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. Then he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now let's look at some differences between Paul and Philip. You know, Paul and Silas, they had a plan. They were on a missionary journey, and they were going to the synagogue, and they were going to preach to a bunch of people. Was that good? Yeah. And they preached the message that Jesus is the Christ. And here, we have Philip, and God directed, miraculously, Philip to the Ethiopian. One guy. Was one of these instances more important than the other? Did it matter if it was a multitude of people hearing the gospel, or if it was the Ethiopian? No. In both instances, it was God's plan. And I say this all the time. Some people, God has prepared them to give the gospel to one person at a time, and to share their faith personally. And some people, God has prepared their heart to be somebody who's going to share with millions. You know, we need Billy Grahams in this world. I said, who is it that I referenced this morning? I said Billy Graham, David Jeremiah, and I said somebody else. It's Ravi Zacharias, that's who I said. Guys that can speak to thousands. Well, we just as much need somebody who's going to go to their friend and say, I'd like to tell you about my best friend Jesus, right? Because some people never listen to one of those. They've had a bad experience with one of those big TV preachers or something. And they'll close their ears. That's why God has prepared both people. And Philip here had the same message. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that it's so important. I love that it says there that you believe with all your heart. So those are some New Testament examples. But who do you, in the book of Acts, and we could spend a lot of time in the book of Acts, but who do you think the ultimate example of sharing your faith probably is? Who would that be? Don't you think it'd be Jesus Christ? Right? And he did a good job. So I put here, Christ is the ultimate example. We talked this morning in Sunday school class, we were talking about partiality. When we talked about Jesus reaching out to the Samaritans. And in John chapter 4, we'd spend the rest of our time this evening reading John chapter 4 if we were going to read it. But the Bible says in John 4:4 that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. He had a purpose and he had a plan that he needed to go right through Samaria. He had a mission. And nothing, not food, not water, not anything was going to keep him from that mission to reach out to that Samaritan woman. And I think that as we look at that, and I might have that on my notes later here, but he overcame three barriers to reaching that woman. He was a Jew, and she was a Samaritan. He was a holy God, and she was a sinful woman, and he was a man, and she was a woman. And none of those things could stop him from witnessing and sharing the gift of God. That's the phrase that Jesus uses in John chapter 4. That he was offering her everlasting life, living water. And then his disciples come back and they're talking to him. And Jesus says, my most important thing right now is this mission that God has for me to reach these Samaritan people. And he reached her, and she went and got the men of the town, and they came, and they personally believed in Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, not because of her. And that's something that we need to remember. It's something we need to focus on. If someone we need to be involved in evangelism. And we should be excited if somebody comes to the Lord as their personal Savior. But if all of a sudden, you know, somebody gets saved and we might have talked to that person, it shouldn't make our head go, right? Like we did something amazing to win this person to Christ. No, it's Jesus Christ who makes a difference in the life of somebody else. They are saved by Christ. We just have to sit back and say, praise the Lord. If we had any little part in planting that seed, in watering that seed, in getting that person out to where they needed to be. Another example that we have here of Jesus is he witnessed to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And probably we know John chapter 3. Nicodemus, you look at him. I always try to point to what John is trying to focus on people in the book of John. He's got a purpose and a plan with every character. And Nicodemus, you might only, I know there was a time, if I thought about Nicodemus, John chapter 3 was the only place I thought about Nicodemus. We find him more times in the book than just in John chapter 3. But when we see him as the searching scholar. He's looking and he's searching. And he's trying to get a hold of these things. And he comes to Jesus and he's got questions for Jesus. And Jesus, let's get back to the point, Nicodemus. You need to be born again. Right? And Nicodemus said, what do you want me to do? Climb back up into my... Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to believe that and in my finished work that you are going to see. And he took time and he went out of his way And he gave up a night of his life so that Nicodemus could be born again. And maybe we could say, well, it was kind of easy for Jesus. He didn't have his favorite show on TV that he had to stay home and watch, right? But wouldn't it be worth it to give up one night of your favorite program on television to share the gospel with somebody so that they could believe? All right. Give up the Super Bowl maybe some night to go out of your way to share the gospel with someone so that they could believe. Jesus was willing to spend an evening with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 to say to him in John chapter 3 and verse 7, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Another example that Jesus gave us of sharing his faith was in Luke chapter 23. Nothing was going to stop Jesus from sharing his faith, even dying on a cross, even taking the sins of all mankind upon himself. He was still going to be a witness and to share his faith and his testimony with others and take any opportunity he could to talk about heaven. In Luke 3 and verse 39, it says, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Even when you're going through the most difficult problems of your life, can you still find the strength and courage to talk about heaven? Because guess what? Someday, when our life seems so difficult and so hard, the thing that gives us the most hope, the most excitement, is heaven. Amen. And I hope that you're excited about heaven and would like to, like Jesus, be able to share your faith in that manner. I got one. I said I had six examples. I've been through five of them. I talked about Paul and him being a witness to the Thessalonians. I talked about Philip and him being an example to the Ethiopian eunuch. We talked about Jesus and the woman at the well. We talked about Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus and the thief on the cross. We probably could. You know, there are times that Jesus shared his faith when he was to thousands of people. I probably could have given examples of where he talked about that to a group of people. But I guess I chose personal witnesses for Jesus because the next one's another personal witness, and that's him and Zacchaeus. We probably know the song, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. But let's read Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. It says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he sought to see," I read that line twice, "but was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they complained, saying, 'He has gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation. I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those which were lost. When we share our faith, we need to look for someone who's lost, in need of a Savior. There's a lost, hurt, broken, and dying world. Some days, I get discouraged, as you do too. I've talked to many of you guys. Some days we turn on the television and we see the deception of the devil alive and at work. And we see that we want to do what's right, but we see a world that's calling wrong right and right wrong. And we want to throw something at the news reporter. I don't know about you, but I don't think a week goes by where I don't want to throw something at the television. When I hear somebody say something on the news, that just breaks my heart. And then we look around and we see sin in our world. We see families falling apart. And we know that somebody whose life is falling apart, the answer is found in Christ.
Amen.
Maybe they need to, like Zacchaeus, come to the realization that they're lost and that they're wrong, and that they know that we have a Savior who has changed our life. Can I be frank with you guys, blunt, honest? There was a time when I sat in church and I thought to myself, I am somebody who was a sinner and lost and broken and doing things wrong, and I am so sorry about that. And now I've changed my life over to Christ. I want to live for Him. And here I am sitting with all these people who have been Christians their whole life. And they're like these perfect Christians. I've learned something. And you guys have helped me learn that lesson. We're all sinners saved by grace. And there's a world out there that's still lost. You know, I just think, have you guys noticed the last couple weeks, we've had some visitors just pop in. I think each one of the last 4 weeks, there's been a young man, a different man here, each one of those weeks. And we're reaching out to them. And we got to pray. You know, I was thinking, I can see, I can name, and I've talked to 4 men that have sat in church here. I don't know all of their stories. I hope to learn them. But maybe one of them is lost and they're like Zacchaeus. Can we love them to the point where one day they're sitting here and my grandchildren will think, man, that guy's been a Christian his whole life. I can't ever be like him. God has come to seek and to save those who are lost. And he's given us some guys to be a mission field to. Let's reach out. Let's love. Let's pray. Let's see God at work. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these examples in the Word of God. And Lord, I thank you that you have the power to change lives. And Lord, I can look around the church and I can see 4 guys that have been here in the last 4 weeks. And I don't completely know their stories. I know a little bit. Lord, I pray that as us, as men and women in this church, we love those people. We invite them to be a part of our family. And as they've heard the gospel, that you might help us to be a testimony to them, to evangelize, to share our faith. And Lord, I pray that you might touch their heart, that your Holy Spirit might work, that we might see lives saved for the kingdom. And Lord, I pray that it won't be too long before we have to move that piano and fill it full of water and see some young men come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Lord, maybe some of us people here, we have family members that we are praying for desperately tonight. And we've heard these examples. I pray that you'll help us to reach out, to share our faith, and to boldly say, Lord, to them, that we'd like them to become a Christian, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Thank you for opportunities. Help us to take those opportunities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.